this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's pray together. Father, we want to, this morning, Lord, just as we've come into your presence, worshiping you, God, with our fellow brothers and sisters, Lord, we just want to continue, God, and just opening up our hearts for you and for your word to come and for you to lay down the foundation in our lives, God, for you to be the one. Lord, I personally, Lord, just want to lay down my own thoughts and, yeah, I really pray, God, that you would bring the word that you want to bring, God, to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So I'm going to talk about that one thing that Jesus is talking about. And I say one thing there and then I list three. But it'll make sense in terms of that. Everybody that's serving somewhere in the congregation at the moment, I'm giving a little bit away the surprise, so sorry guys. Next week we wanna just give you something just as an expression of our thanks to you. And something that Christine and Portia did on Friday, which just struck me, and something that Portia mentioned, is there's about 166 thingies that we prepared to give to people just in saying thanks. And something that Portia mentioned is that, aren't you glad that it's not only three? And it struck me is that we are, I mean, on paper, we, excluding the kids, we're just over 200 on paper in our small groups, etc. Out of, if you do the sums, it's over 80% of people in our congregation that do serve somewhere. And I've been saying it for a while is that it's not the culture in our congregation, the 80-20 principle of 20 people doing 80% of the work. It's the other way around. And that sort of, in a sense, just proved that to me. And I really want to thank you from my side that you do serve and you give a lot of yourselves. So where does the story then fit in with serving? Yeah, this the whole story of Martha and Mary comes in, and Martha is the one serving. Okay, so I want to bring in just a little bit of a context, or serving is important. Okay, that's Jesus did not discard that what Martha did was not good. She just said that which Mary chose, one thing was needed, and she's chosen the better thing. Okay. So, you read with me Galatians 5, verse 13. It says here, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." In Ephesians 6, verse 7, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men." Now, the context of that scripture relates to slaves and their masters, but it can be translated in a similar context with us and our jobs as well, is that serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not men. 1 Peter 4 verse 10, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." And then lastly, John 12 verse 26, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." So we just see there that, I mean, serving, we all know that serving is an integral part our relationship with God. And I mean, it's just this morning, just the worship, I really just feel it's just been so precious. And I really feel God is inviting us in this year to come as well into just a deeper place of connecting with Him as a congregation in our worship. I just had the sense of how we are like putting our foot in the water, and we're experiencing like God's abundance, we're experiencing His presence, but there's a sense of we're still holding back sometimes. And I'm not talking about necessarily individually, I'm talking about that collectively, I believe God is inviting us to come, in a sense, deeper into the river and deeper and just how He wants to reveal His heart to us. So I want to encourage us as we go this December and even into next year that we would continually to just not only have the right desires, but that we would translate those desires into action and into not just communicating our intentions to serve God, but that we would actually serve God. Okay. So, yes, I'm gonna steal something that I got from Peter on Friday. I want everybody to turn to somebody next to you and look them in the eye. You can do that so long. And I want you to say this after me. Okay. Okay, repeat after me. Look at them and repeat after me. If I want to change the world, I will start by loving you. Yeah. I got that from Peter. Okay, guys, if you were standing in faith for a wife, that was your opportunity, okay? No, I'm just kidding. But something that I've learned, and this is a little slightly off topic, something that I've learned over the years is I had this one good friend of mine in Rez. We were never in the same church, but I mean he served God with his whole heart, and between the two of us, we had this culture of where we would say outright to each other, like as Lifio, I love you. And it's amazing how that the bond between us just grew. Not because we did anything necessarily different from there on. There was an expression of I love you. And it just changed so much about the way that we related to one another. Not in any kind of weird way or that. So I want to encourage us to find ways, if not verbally, on how can I express love to those that are around me, in my small group or in my family, or just a random acquaintance that you get to know even at work or here at church, etc. And I just want to echo Yanni's words of last week. If you're struggling to feel part of this family, I want to encourage you to start giving of yourself. I'm not even asking so much as to serve, but I'm asking you to start loving the people around you. And in that way, that is the quickest that you feel part of something, is that when you start giving of yourself for them. So, and it's the same as how, in a big way, about how we feel so attached to our children, is that we sacrifice a lot for our children, and therefore we love our children so much. And on the way to church this morning, Elaine asked me, "Papa, hoe kom het God die reën gestuur?" I was like, why did God send the rain? So she caught me. That was not part of the conversation at all. And she was like, "No, God sends the rain so that the plants can grow and then we can have water to drink, and otherwise the plants can't grow, etc." So I had to explain all of that. Okay. All right. So where did Martha miss it? And that is slightly where I want to stand still. Where did Martha miss it, and what is that one thing, and what is it that we can do to make sure that we, in our serving and in our loving one another that we don't miss that one thing. So you can read with me there. I'm going to take little snippets out of that Luke 10 scripture where Martha was just missing the point there. In verse 38, it says there that a woman named Martha opened her home to him. The thing is, an important thing there is to realize is that it was actually Martha who was the one that opened her home for Jesus, invited Jesus and the disciples in. Okay, so we're not talking about an unbeliever versus a believer. This is somebody that invites Jesus, that have a relationship with Jesus, and invites Jesus in and say, Lord, come and make your home here with us. Yeah, so it is Martha then that opens her home for him. And then in verse 40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And the thing is that, yes, there was a lot of preparations that had to be made. I think the ladies would relate with this in the sense of, if you have guests, there are preparations that needs to be made. We as men, we also know that. We're not always that phased about it necessarily. Okay. So from the husbands, from the men's side, we want to say thank you for the work that you do and for the giving attention to those things. Okay. But the thing is that Jesus comes then and he says that, this is not Jesus yet speaking yet. This is just scripture saying that Martha was distracted by all the preparations. Now the question there is, distracted from what? And because the preparations, in my mind, it was needed. If you invite guests into your home, there are preparations needed. Let's continue reading. Before we continue reading, just this distraction thing is that a lot of the times you can relate, or I can relate to this very much, and this is something that God very much has spoken to me about the last while, is that we might even go into the week with very good intentions, but somewhere along the line we get distracted. Or we even come to church on a Sunday morning with very good intentions, but somewhere along the line something distracts us and we miss that moment where God actually wants to do something in our lives. Or we go into the holiday. I've done this plenty of times. You go into the holiday with the very best of intentions of, I have now more time and therefore I will be able to spend more time with God. Come towards the end of the holiday, you look back and the balance sheet doesn't click. We get distracted by having a good time at the beach or in the bush or watching movies or even having to work through the holiday. And I've worked through the holiday here in December, and it's actually the best time to work in Johannesburg because there's no traffic and those kinds of things. But at the same time, having more time doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to do what you're intended to do. And therefore, it's neat that we need to be wary of what are the things that typically distract us from that one thing that God is calling us to first. Okay, so when you go on holiday, make a point of translating your intentions of spending time with God. Make sure that you do not get distracted from that. Because now you with your family, with your extended family, either with your parents or with your brothers and sisters, and it's a joll, and you're playing Settlers of Catan, or you're playing this or whatever, and it's fun. And you really, and it's enjoyable and it's good. But somewhere along the line, we need to draw the line where we need to prioritize the time with God, with sitting at Jesus' feet. Okay, and then also in verse 40, it says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? And often what happens when we get distracted We translate that into God's character as, Lord, don't you care about this and this and this? We get distracted, and then we start getting tired, or things go pear-shaped, and then a lot of the times, I'm not saying always, a lot of the times, we start questioning God's character. It's the same with it's the same in Mark 4, where Jesus is with his disciples in the boat, and they cross the Sea of Galilee there, and then the storm comes up and he's sleeping. So they come and wake him up and they say, Lord, don't you care if we drown? The same that if we go through storms in life, a lot of the times we start questioning whether God really cares about me, about us. And I want to say that is missing the point. Is that whether it's in pina colada times or whether it's in storms, right? The point of it is to be with God within that. Cornei Becker said it so beautifully at the conference in October, where he said that that God is not necessarily the focus wasn't supposed to be on the storm, and the focus is not supposed to be on the calm after the storm. The focus is on God in the storm and in the quiet. And therefore, I'm not saying that all storms are of God and all the calms are of God, etc. What I'm saying is that in every circumstance, our focus should be on God. And our hearts then should be drawing to God. Verse 41 says, you are worried and upset about many things. This is Jesus' response to Martha. And God, in a sense, hit me over the head with those words. Okay. Is that and he's been echoing that in my head for a couple of weeks, is that you run and you start growing weary, and you get tired, and this is most now silly season, isn't it? Some of the corporates call this silly season, November. It's like just some of the expectations that some of your managers or some of your bosses have come towards the end of the year, you just feel like I just want to reach December, I just want to go on a break, and now there comes all these deadlines or this workload, etc. And that's why a lot of the corporates label it silly season. It's just that all these silly things actually happen. So I distracted myself completely now. What was I saying? Silly season. Yes, God has been speaking to me about this. He's been telling me that you are worried and upset about many things. And typically when I go and I want to have quiet time or just my own personal time with God, I used to struggle with just quieting my own thoughts and emotions and being there in the moment with God. And God is just, every time I struggle to get quiet, he says to me, you're worried and upset about many things. And because of that, I miss a lot of the times what God wants to actually tell me in that time where I actually go and sit still. And this morning, the question for a lot of us is, are you worried and upset about many things? And what are those things? That doesn't mean that those worries are illegitimate, meaning that they are sinful worries that you have, like you cheated at work and now you're worried your boss is going to find out. Those are also obviously worries. But what I mean by that is that we worry about finances, or we worry about our health, and we worry about, Am I a good husband? Am I a good father? If your child throws a tantrum, you start doing introspection. You're like, am I really doing a good job? And then also just being upset. I told you, I mentioned it briefly, the drain that goes the wrong way. And those stories continue. And then you start getting upset because the plumber was incompetent who did it in the first place. Those kinds of things that ramble And it's just natural. It's just circumstances in life that happens. And we get upset about those things. And I want to say that a lot of us unknowingly subscribe to Murphy's Law. Who knows what Murphy's Law is? What can go wrong goes wrong. Yeah, that's Murphy's Law. And I want to say that a lot of us expect things to go wrong. We're like, okay, so what next? Okay, so this thing broke. Okay, now what next? And we're not caught by surprise anymore when things go wrong. And I want to say that that is not God's will for us. Okay. So, and God, like Murphy's Law is not written into God's law. Just want to say, you won't find Murphy's Law in Scripture. Okay. So what I want to say is yes, sometimes there's spiritually things that are going on, and there's sometimes attacks that comes against us. And whether that is the case or not, the fact remains that if we remain close to God, we will be able to hear what God is saying about the circumstances around us. Is this a spiritual attack? No. Is this just the natural circumstances? Yes. Trust me. There's always an invitation from God saying, come to me, trust me, I'm faithful, I'm trustworthy. Okay, so whether it's your academics, if you're still studying, the results, whether you're pregnant, like my wife, woohoo. I think we've got about 8 pregnant ladies in the congregation at the moment. So that's a legitimate worry, I just want to say. Okay? Giving birth is a legitimate worry. Okay. But what I do want to encourage you is do not allow that to distract you from spending time with God. Also, if you have a newborn baby, that is also a legitimate worry. Yeah, they're not here now, but if your children are busy leaving home, and you don't know what's going, where they're going, etc., that's a legitimate worry. But God is inviting us to Him, and not allow those things to hinder us from actually hearing God. Okay, so think about that question: is what is it, or if there is any worries, what is it that worries you, and what is it that upsets you, and I've told you about that knee-jerk reaction that I sometimes had. Okay, I haven't had that since I preached on it, so that's a good thing. Last time I preached, it's just that when I tend to feel that I haven't spent enough time with God recently, then traffic is a catalyst for me in terms of my ungodly side to come out. And then if somebody then hoots at me where I was not in the wrong, I realized I have a knee-jerk reaction of just throwing signs at them. And I'm not talking about the signs and the wonders that follows you. Okay. So what upsets me is injustice. Or when somebody lies to me. So just note that if ever you want to. But that's something that I inherited from my father, actually. It's just that you can do a lot of things wrong in my dad, and you'll be fine. But if you lie to him, then you got the wrath of Mr. Blichner. So, but what I want to say is that sometimes we get upset also with things of where somebody hurt us, and there's, in a sense, legitimately, we can be upset about it. Somebody lied to me, or somebody betrayed me, or somebody hurt me in one way or another. And even though, even that, God is saying that do not allow those things that have hurt you and that upset you to hinder you from coming to me and experiencing me and my fullness. Okay, so he's asking us to forgive other people, just as He has forgiven us. Scary thing about what God says is that if we do not forgive others, then He cannot forgive us, because we do not see what Jesus has done for us on the cross in the light of what we should, because we've just experienced that much, so much grace, so much forgiveness, and we don't want to forgive somebody in comparison to what God has forgiven us. Forgive somebody little. I've digressed there slightly, but I just felt that that is needed for some people just to hear. And I know sometimes when circumstances are really rough, we struggle sometimes to make sense of all the thoughts that are going on in my head, all the emotions that I'm busy experiencing, all these circumstances that are going on around me, this person giving me grief on this end, this person giving me grief on that end. And it's almost like a tumble dryer of just stuff. And you're on the ocean and you don't know. Have you ever been in the deep sea and you got motion sickness? Anybody? You don't know which side is up. You don't know which side is down. And you start feeding the fish. And that is sometimes when you feel like that emotionally, it's sometimes difficult to press the pause button and not be worried and upset about all this stuff that is going on. And we're going to get to that. Okay, you're going to read with me. I'm going to get to this one thing about first things first. Verse 39, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. In verse 41, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. And then immediately after that it says, and it will not be taken away from her. What God is inviting us to is to first and foremost prioritize the time of coming to sit at his feet. I'm not shooting the lights out with the words that I'm saying here, but it is actually quite profound. Okay? That if you serve, I want to say, if you serve in a lot of areas in this church, or you serve your kids a lot, you're a parent, you know that you give a lot of yourself. Even if you don't serve in a lot of places, even if you just serve in one place in this congregation, you know that you give a lot of yourself. And many times when we start running low, I want to say on battery power or whatever you want to call it, on just God time, actually, that is actually what it boils down to. When we're running low on time with God, then a lot of the times we translate our frustrations. The cause of our frustrations is the serving part, and we move that away. People burn out in a sense, and they move the things away where they are giving of themselves, rather than just actually going to the one who actually imparts the life in order for us to serve. And yes, there is a place of where God leads us to serve in certain areas for a season. And then stop at some point, and I'm for that. However, too many times I see people saying that I don't want to serve anymore because I feel I shouldn't serve in that area anymore. But my next question normally to that is that feeling of yours, is that the feeling of hearing God's voice, or is that the feeling of being overwhelmed by a whole lot of commitments? And I am very much for not overcommitting yourself. Get me right there. Okay, so that is also something that we look out for people that do serve at a lot of places, is make sure that you do not overextend yourself. But at the same time, too many people run away from all the commitments because they registered that is what drains me. But it is not, that is what drains you because that is where you're giving of yourself, yes. But the only way that we do not get drained and tapped, uitgedroog, like a raisin, is by staying connected to the vine. Okay, John 15 talks about the vine and the branches, etc. If you get disconnected from the vine, there's no more life that can flow through us. And therefore, God is continually inviting us to remain plugged into the vine so that the life can continually flow through us. Fred actually mentioned this at the conference also, is that a lot of the times we register Christianity or relationship with Him as or the life that he wants to impart into us as a reservoir, okay, as a bathtub or something. Like his life flows to me, and therefore then I build a dam to try and preserve the life that he flows to me. But God's never called us to be a dam. He's called us to be conduits. Okay, he's called us to be a pipe. Turn to somebody next to you and say, "You're a pipe." Okay. Yeah, he's called us to be a pipe where there's a continual flow of life that comes in us, through us, and to other people. And we continually experience God's life when we allow him to flow into us on the one side and allow him to flow out of us on the other side. Okay, now I'm not going to be prescriptive to where that should flow out. A lot of that outflow, I want to say, should not even be in church. Okay, because we as a church is not being called to be a dam. We as a church have been called to be a reservoir for the life to flow in here and flow out of here into the world that really needs the life. Okay, so the important point that I want to make there is that, yes, we give a lot of ourselves, but we need to stay connected to the source of where that life comes from, and therefore then we will not run dry. And read with me Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." The invitation is very simple, is that God invites us to come to him. I haven't gone into all the details that's around the scripture, so I'm not bringing in all the context, but what I want to say is that Jesus says that, "Come to me, you who are weary," and another translation says, "heavy laden, burdened." And that is a simple message this morning, is that there's an invitation of coming to sit at Jesus' feet continually. Even Jesus, in the time that he ministered, continually he seeked places where he could be alone, where he recharges, where he prays, and where he can spend time with the Father. But sometimes those circumstances don't work out quite like that. Like Jesus, after he heard that John the Baptist was beheaded, he was sad and he wanted to be alone. He went to the other side, he got into a boat, went to the other side, the crowds picked up on this, and 4,000 or 5,000 plus pitched on the other side. And then he was moved with compassion. He wanted to be alone, but he was moved with compassion there. And then he spoke to the people, healed their sick, and then fed them. And then only after they left, he sent his disciples again over the water, and he stayed behind. And that's then where he spent alone time with the Father. So even if your circumstances during the day do not, there's random things that sometimes happen and it doesn't work out like you intended or like you planned. But there are always opportunities for us to push away ourselves a little bit out of the crowd and just be alone with God. And yes, there's some good quality time to have with God, with our family members as well. And that also recharges us. But in terms of that, just that personal connection with God, make a point continually every day to at least spend with God. If you're sitting in traffic for an hour, hour and a half, or half an hour, maybe switch off Wackhead in the mornings and rather spend that time with God. If you can't get up earlier or you can't stay up later, etc. Make a time. I remember when I was doing articles, Christine and I had a disagreement the previous evening, and normally we don't like going to bed angry with one another. Okay, so that has its pros and its cons. That means that you don't go to bed sometimes, until you sort it out. So. And obviously, when you try and sort things out, then there are times when you want to spend time with God, and obviously these are things to be worried and upset about, and you struggle to connect with God. And I remember also just being at work, and having all this work to do, auditing, etc. And now you're tired and just want to spend some time with God. So I'm going to say, the toilet cubicle you can lock and you can be alone. Okay, so if that is the kind of extent to what you need to go to just to be alone, then do it. Okay, I did fall asleep there, but it did recharge me a little bit. Okay, so what I just want to encourage everybody is that really prioritize your own personal time with God. Your wife is gonna receive life because you received life. Your husband, your kids, those around you. I just know I'm a much more pleasant person to be around when I am full of the presence of God. The worship team can come up so long. Just close with this story. What I've realized lately, I just want to close off with a story, is that what I've realized lately, as our time with God becomes sporadic, becomes like every second day, every third day, or like here and there, bits and pieces, our verbal culture goes backwards as well. What do I mean by that? Is that we start complaining a lot more rather than being thankful. And I've picked that up in Christine and my own lives. And the two of us actually agreed that we're going to do a complaining fast. just to change our verbal culture. Now, it sounds like weird, and why do you need, is your verbal culture really that bad? It's just that whenever there's anything to be negative about, then the two of us would chat about it. Or we would not chat about it, we would complain about it, to be quite honest. And we just realized that we're busy psyching each other up in a very negative way. And we want to establish a culture in our house of thankfulness. That doesn't mean that we don't complain or those kinds of things. But I really believe that when there are things that are going wrong, I believe that we should take it to God first. And me and Christine complaining about stuff, it doesn't get us anywhere unless we want to put a plan of action in place to get it sorted out. That's different. But just generally, I want to encourage us all that when we spend time with God, it overflows into our verbal cultures as well. And I believe God wants our mouths to be consecrated so that it will overflow of thankfulness.